Good morning. We've been talking about radical prayer, and we've worked our way all the way to Matthew 6:13. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Matthew 6:13. And we're just going to look at the second part of the phrase. Last week we looked at leading us not into temptation, but today we look into, but deliver us from evil. As I think about this society in which we live today, when we talk about the evil one, we talk about Satan, we talk about the devil, there's kind of seems to be four sectors of our population, even our Christian population. And number one, the first sector is the denial that Satan is even real. You know, Barna's latest research looking at born-again believers, those who claim to be born-again believers, and yet he asked the question, the devil or Satan is not a living being, but is just a symbol of evil. And 48% agree with that statement. Kind of the idea that Satan is not a real being, but is just a representation of evil within us. And of course, we have a real hard time with that if we're going to be biblicists here. If we're going to believe in the Word of God, the Bible, as our authority, and have the Word of God, and yet from the very beginning in Genesis, we see Satan appearing as a serpent, and all the way to Revelation, where Satan is judged all the way through the Bible. So it's very difficult, especially when the Bible uses personal pronouns and personal references when talking to Satan as a person, as a being, and to just believe that he's an evil representation also gives us a challenge when we talk about Jesus being tempted in the desert by Satan himself. You're saying that there's evil in Jesus that is tempting Jesus, and we're saying that Jesus is not evil. Kind of reminds me of the 2 6-year-olds who were struggling with the problem of the devil, and one said, oh, there's no such thing as any devil. The other said, sure there is. What do you mean there's a devil? There isn't a devil. It talks about him all the way through the Bible. And the first one says, oh, that's not true. You know, it's just like Santa. The devil turns out to be your dad. You know how it is. So many people just believe that the devil's just like Santa, just another mythical character, another way for the church to use to excuse difficulties in their life. The second group is kind of the opposite on the perspective. They kind of believe that Satan is everywhere. You know, there's some people the crowd who just gives overemphasis on Satan and his work, and they just see Satan and demons everywhere. And I think in many ways they do more damage than good, because in this way they're kind of overemphasizing him, giving him way more credit, way more power, way more ability, way more time in their minds than necessary. It's kind of like, you know, it reminds me back of the Flip Wilson days, back a comedian from the 60s and 70s, and Flip Wilson had a great character that he talked about by the name of Geraldine, and she was a pastor's wife. She was Rev's wife, but every time she got in trouble, everything she did wrong, she always said, the devil made me do it, you know, just blaming the devil for everything in her life. Again, I do know that Satan is real. I do know that Satan is everywhere in the Bible. I do know that he has got demons and they're actively pursuing. He's actively pursuing us and working against us daily. But let's don't give him over emphasis. Let's not see him everywhere. Let's realize that much of our sin issue is our own flesh and the world, but he's a big part of it as well. This third group, which really concerns me probably the most, is the Satan is cool group. That's right. There's a common trend today in society to make Satan and Satanology and those things a cool thing to do. Our young people and college students, but even a lot of older adults, a lot of adults are in the crowd that being dark and thinking about dark things and having jewelry that reflects evil is kind of a cool thing. One of the things I saw recently back in 2016, and I love the name of this school here, but school called Point Defiance Elementary School in Tacoma, Washington. The kids actually wanted to form an after-school group called the Satan Club. And it was a big debate because if they're going to allow Christian after-school programs, they have to also allow non-Christian Satan groups. And again, the reason the students predominantly wanted to join the Satan Club is not because they really wanted to worship Satan, but because they thought it was cool, because they thought the leader of the group was cool, and they wanted to be like her. So we have the denial group, believes that there is no such thing. We have the everywhere group that sees Satan everywhere, and we have the cool group that thinks Satan is cool. But I hope you're part of this fourth group, and if you're not before this sermon, I hope you are after. The fourth group is one who realizes that Satan is our adversary. And it's always wise. A military leader will tell you one of the first axioms of any military is to know your enemy and to realize that Satan is not cool. He is real, and he is our adversary. He is working against us. We're in a war, spiritual war, for our soul and our life every day. And the root of much of the temptation that we struggle with is from this one called Satan. And so we're going to talk today, and again, there's so much we could talk about, but I just want to talk about two things today in this message as we get to Matthew 6:13, where it says, "But deliver us from evil." Let's pray first. Father God, we just come to you this morning. We humbly bow before the authority of your holy word. Lord, I pray for each person hearing my voice today, that whatever way that your spirit needs to work on our hearts today, Lord, that you would do so. We know there are many things that we need deliverance from today. And today, this prayer calls us to pray for deliverance from the things, the evil parts of us, the evil things within us that continue to cause us to sin. And Lord, if we're going to take seriously what we prayed about last week, which was to be sucked in, not to be brought in, not to be carried into temptation, then we have to be honest about the things that are in the root of our heart, the evil and the evil one that exists in our hearts that leads us to sin. So Father, I pray today for deliverance. I pray for those with addictions. I pray for those with habitual sins. I pray for habits, attitudes, heart issues that we have that are deep within our soul, things we both have been raised with and things we've developed as we grow. Lord, these things linger in our hearts. And Father, we need deliverance from them today in the name of Jesus. I just pray for your delivering spirit to just deliver us from these things, these attitudes, these heart issues that lead us to sin, that tempt us to sin. So, Lord God, I just lift up this service today. I lift up this message today. I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me, that each of us here today may receive the exact message you'd have us to receive. We'd be moved to begin the process of deliverance today by confessing our need for you to deliver us from these evil things. And, Lord God, we just praise your holy name for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get into this. The two things we want to talk about today is being prepared for the adversary and praying for deliverance. Those are the two things that I want to talk about with some practical application at the end. So part one on your outline there is being prepared for the adversary. Jesus brings up in this wonderful prayer, this simple but powerful presentation of what we do in prayer. When the disciples ask him to teach them how to pray, he said, "This is how you should pray." It's not the exact words. You don't have to use these exact words, but how to pray. To realize that we are in a war with the adversary. And we have to be prepared for the adversary. And so you'll notice in the NIV Bible, which we use here, it says, "But deliver us from the evil one." So part A there, really the first part of that phrase is, "But deliver us." Ryomai is to snatch away from something or someone toward someone else. To snatch away from something or someone toward something else. This idea of being delivered is to snatch away from something. It has an idea that you are already in the grasp of something, that you're already being held by something, that you're struggling to have strength to stand against something. And so the prayer says, Lord, deliver us, snatch us away from something, but not just away from something, but towards something else. You know, we've said this over and over again in our time together, that if you empty yourself of a sin issue, if you remove something from your heart or your life, and you leave a void there, that something else will fill it. I mean, you're going to have to fill that void with something. And that's why the scripture is so profound about putting things into your heart, putting things into your mind, into your life. You need to be delivered from this toward something else. And then the second part of the phrase, part B in your outline there, says from evil. But really, I like the Greek phraseology. If you see it in the Greek language, it actually has an article before evil. So it would be from the evil. And then, as the NIV, I think, appropriately states, it's talking about, because it's the evil, it is talking about more of an evil person, an evil source. So the word there is poneros, and it is the evil one as a source of evil, or it could be evil people or evil things. So deliver us from the evil thing, the evil ones, or the evil one, the source, poneros. And again, poneros is a famous word in the Bible for sin, for one who is a habitual process of sin. So here it's the source of the habitual source of sin, that lifestyle of sin, that long-term sin issue. This is not necessarily a short-term problem. This is more of a long-term. So we're talking about the evil things that are the source of sin. And I began to think about it. These temptations we talked about last week, the sins that we do that we talked about last week, these are more of a fruit of something else that is going on within our hearts. We're tempted, as James said, when our evil desires, those things within us, those evil parts of us that live within us, that Satan uses those things, evil uses those, the flesh abides in those things. And that's what causes us to tempt. So we're tempted when we allow that evil to remain, that evil heart, that evil habit, that evil attitude, the source of it. And so when he says here, deliver us from the source of that evil within us, the evil one is a very appropriate one, to deliver us from Satan. And we're going to talk primarily about Satan today as our adversary, but there's other. The evil heart that we have, the evil attitudes that we have, all of that is a wonderful picture to be delivered, snatched away from that evil heart and move toward the pure heart that we can have in God. And so part C, I want you to understand the source of evil, the evil one. The reason I like this phraseology so much is because it's used many times in the Bible. John 17 15, Jesus says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. You see that phraseology referring to Satan himself. 1 John, many times, three different times in 1 John, uses this idea too. 1 John 2 says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Same in 1 John 3. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. In John 5, 1 John 5, 18 and 19, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who has been born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So again, that phraseology of understanding that Satan is the evil one. He is the very source, the very embodiment of the evil forces that come at us. And then, of course, Ephesians 6:16, Paul talks about, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So, again, we have to understand that the prayer is challenging us to be prepared for the adversary who is Satan. And it comes from a couple of names, and we've heard these names before. He, number one on your outline under his understanding the evil, you have to understand that he began as Lucifer, the Hebrew Hillel, a shining light, really. Isaiah 14 reminds us, it says, how you have fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of assembly in the heights of Zaphon, I will ascend to the top of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. Oh boy, this Lucifer, this created being by God, definitely a powerful angel, probably the most powerful angel, had a ruling position in heaven with God. But we can see that he and his pride and his ego, he desired to be equal with God, and that's what caused him to fall. And when he fell, he became the number two. What we see in the Bible many times is the word devil and the word Satan. 33 times in the Bible, in the New Testament, is the word devil, and 36 times is the word Satan. And that word devil and Satan means the adversary, one who lies in wait. Remember Revelation 12. I like this because it brings out the true nature of who Satan is by mentioning the names here. It says in Revelation 12:9, the great dragon. So he's called the great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And so we see in Revelation that John is talking about the way that Satan was cast out of heaven and hurled to earth. And we believe at least a one-third of his angels, those are the demonic forces that work with him. And also I love 1 Peter 5:8, a very important scripture to remember. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So, part D, I just want you to know that we are in a spiritual war with forces of evil. We are in a spiritual war. And we need to realize that we have to be prepared for the adversary. We have to understand him. We have to know him. We have to recognize his effect. He cannot control us, but he can definitely tempt us. And those evil habits and those evil attitudes that that we have allowed to stay in us will become the source of our temptation in the future. Ephesians 6:12, I just remind you of that. Ephesians 6:10 and through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So this is our real battle. So many people think that we live in a physical world with a spiritual edge, but in fact, it's quite the opposite. We live in a spiritual world with a physical edge. 99%, more than that, of our life is spiritual. Only a small portion of it is physical. And really, this spiritual battle that we face daily is this evil one, this evil force. So, Lord, we pray for deliverance from the evil one. And I just want to remind you, part E on your outline, please remember the end of the story. Revelation 20 tells us the end of the story. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them from battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. Oh boy, you can see the end of the story. Satan is released. He goes back to his work of being an adversary to God, an adversary to the people of God. He gathers a mighty army, so many that they're like the sand on the seashore. and they march across the breadth of the earth and they surround God's city. Obviously, that would be Jerusalem, the city of God. Oh boy, is Satan going to win? He thinks he's going to win once again, but verse 9 continues with, but fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't forget the end of the story. God wins. All he has to do is speak a word, and all the things of this earth, all the armies against him, all the opposition, all the adversaries against him will be consumed, will be destroyed in just a moment. And that the devil will, in fact, be thrown into the burning fire of sulfur. The hell was designed for Satan and his friends. And so, Lord, when people go to hell, they're actually choosing to join Satan in his destiny. And that's not what we want for you or for anyone else. We want to choose heaven. We want to choose to be in heaven with God, heaven with Christ, heaven with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, after we're prepared, once we're prepared, this wonderful phrase calls us to a great word. It calls us to deliverance. So I want to talk just a minute about praying for deliverance, part two in your outline there, praying for deliverance. And of course, it begins, part A of our outline here, it begins by admitting that we are held by some things. Some of the hardest things for Christian people even to admit. And this prayer is for Christians. This prayer is not for non-Christians. We know they are held by the enemy. We know they are owned by Satan. It says in Scripture they're enemies of God. They're actually on the opposing team. But this prayer is a prayer to the disciples to pray. This is a prayer for believers, those who know that God is their Father, who art in heaven, and hallowed is his name. These are the ones who hallow the name of God. These are the ones who want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are the ones who depend upon him for the bread, for their daily food. These are the ones who depend on him for forgiveness. These are the ones who depend on him to lead them not into temptation. These are the ones who need deliverance. But we have to admit that we are held by things. I'm talking about attitudes here. I'm talking about sins of our heart. I'm talking about the way we think about other people, the way we have pride, and we have so many of these physical and spiritual attitudes that rule in our hearts. Can you admit that to yourself today? Can we truly come to God and say, you know, I know there are some attitudes and some evils within me that I need deliverance from? In fact, part B, we're being called to pray for deliverance from the effects of this evil in our hearts. And I got to thinking about what are some of these things, and these four things emerged from my thinking, in my study, in my prayer, things that we need to pray for deliverance from. Number one, from deception to truth. From deception to truth. We need to pray that the Lord would reveal the truth, that we'd be able to see where Satan is deceiving us. We need discernment on how we're being deceived, that the lies that he is telling us. And I remind you from John 8:44, it says that you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, when Satan tells you these things that you know are not true, he tries to destroy you, tries to murder you, and discourage you about yourself. These are deception, and we need to be delivered from deception to truth. We need to remember who we are in Christ. Number two, I love one of his great tools. The toolbox of Satan is very big, but one of his major tools is fear. We need to be delivered from fear to faith. We need to be delivered from this fear of stepping out and having that faith. You know, the whole experience with Peter walking on the water. He was one who stepped out when the other 11 stayed in the boat. They need to be delivered from fear. I love Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. When Jesus came and he died, he defeated sin. He defeated death. And the greatest fear we have is our death. And yet Jesus defeated that. And of course, I love 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We need to be delivered from our fear. Do not let fear limit. Satan loves to use fear to keep us in that box. And God can't use us as he wishes when we're in that fear box. Number three, from hate to grace. There's no greater tool that Satan uses than hate. When we hate others, when we hold unforgiveness, when we have prejudices, when we have hatred toward other people, the Satan is using that to limit us. Instead, let us be delivered from hate to grace, where we see people as God sees them, with grace, where he understands their weaknesses and he loves them even though they're shortcoming. And really, if we could only learn to see people with the same grace that God sees us. I love 1 John 2:9 here. It says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. So true. If we could only be delivered from those people that we hate. And I know hate is a strong word, but to be honest with you, we must be honest with ourselves. There are people that we have unforgiveness and we develop that hate, those prejudices we have against people of color, people of age, people of all the different ways that people are different. We can hate so much. And then number four, from selfishness to agape love. From selfishness to agape love. One of the greatest tools that Satan has for us is he says, what do I need? What do I want? What do I, you know, what about me? Matter of fact, someone had a quote that said if Satan wrote a Bible, it would probably be titled, You Only Live Once. You know, that would be the title of his Bible because he always tried to tell us, well, what about me? What do I need? Let's get our needs met. Let's worry about us. That is so opposite, isn't it, to what Christ taught us, to what Christ modeled for us, how we're to live our life. In fact, John 13:35, a new command I give you, love one another. Agape, that word love there is the word agape. Love one another with that agape love, that love that expects nothing in return. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus demonstrated his agape love by giving everything for us. And he tells us, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then he goes on to add, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. This is what we have to be delivered from, this selfishness. We have to be delivered from our self-centered lifestyle, self-centered mindset. We're just always worried about ourselves. If we could only be delivered from that to a life of agape love, truly loving others as we have been loved. In fact, part C in your outline, let me finish with this. By praying, we affirm that the Father is able to deliver us. You know what? Whatever you're facing today, whatever challenge you have today, whatever attitudes or issues in your heart, and I know that we all have them, this prayer actually is a belief statement. Deliver us from evil is a belief statement that God, that Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit can, in fact, is able and willing to deliver us from these evil, to take us out, to snatch us out of those things and move us toward Him. I pray that as you pray this Lord's Prayer, that you'll stop at this place. I'm telling you, as we pray through this Lord's Prayer as more of a structure of prayer, as we stop at each of these petitions, and here we are at petition number 6, as we stop at this 6th petition, let us be honest about the evil within us, and let us say, Lord, I need you. I know you can. I know you're willing. I allow you. I'm willing to let you deliver me from this evil attitude. So if we could have several applications, but I just want to list 3 of them here just for a moment as we close. Just some practical applications, because we're trying to figure out how to live out the Lord's Prayer, the radical prayer. How to live it out. You know, what do we do? The first suggestion that I have for you today, part A, is respect Satan and evil and avoid it in all forms. This is not a joke. It's not fun. This is serious business. We don't want to overemphasize Satan, but we definitely want to know that he's real. He's definitely not cool. He is our adversary. And when I say that is, I just want us to look at everything from the music and the movies and the video games and the jewelry and the lifestyle and the people and the thing, everything that has to do with evil. It is not a joke. Everything from the zodiac all the way through the spectrum, those things are evil, and we must not play with them. We must respect Satan. He is a powerful force. But thank God, God is much more powerful than that. But still, we must respect Satan and the evil and avoid it at all forms. Number 2, the Lord laid on my heart to remind us that deliverance is a process that begins today. You know, I really do wish, and there are some times when prayers can be answered in an instant, when things can be changed, when a life, a heart can be changed in an instant. I've seen it many, many times. But more times than not, I've realized that it's a wrestling match. It's a war. We turn these things over. We place them on the altar. And then they come back and they wrestle with us again. And we continue to be going through a process of deliverance. But I tell you this, it can and must start today. You and I must choose today. If we're going to take this prayer seriously and pray it seriously, we have to start the deliverance process today. Deliver us from this evil, the evil one, and the evil ideas that we have in our heart. We must pray that today and believe it with our heart that He can do it. And then I just remind you to claim your position, part C in your outline, claim your position as a child of the Father. You know what? We are so blessed. We are so honored that we are a child of God. We do not have to sin. We do not have to be defeated. We do not have to be overwhelmed by these temptations and this evil one. Satan is a created being. He is controlled by God. He has no authority outside of what God allows. So we must stand based on that principle. Put on that whole armor of God. Stand firm against the devil's schemes, because we are a child of God. And today I'm here to give you good news. I know the Holy Spirit is convicting us right now of the evil that is in our hearts, but I'm also want to give you good news. You and I can be delivered from the evil that's in us. We can be delivered from the evil one. He cannot stand. Even Jesus defeated him in the desert. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Jesus is going to defeat him in the end. We know the end of the story. And so I tell you, let the deliverance begin today. Can you pray for deliverance? Can you ask the Lord to begin the process today with you and with me? Can we just come to this altar and just lift up our heart to God and say, I know you see the evil parts of me. I need your deliverance today, dear Lord. Dear Jesus, use your Holy Spirit to guide my thoughts and minds. Lead me away from these evil thoughts, these evil attitudes. This is the root of my sin problem, is me. Found a picture that I really fell in love with. It's called The painting is called The Chess Players by Moritz Retz. It's painted back in the late 1800s. And it's a picture of two people sitting across a chessboard. The guy on the left in green is Satan. And the guy on the right is in red is a young man. And as you can see from the painting here, they're playing chess. And the story, the backstory is that this young man is playing chess with Satan for his soul. He felt like he could win the battle with Satan for his soul. But the sad truth is, and what the painting depicts here, is a very sad young man and a very excited Satan. Even the angel standing behind the young man is frowning because the young man has lost the chess match. In the painting, Satan is gleefully expecting the checkmate, to be able to checkmate this young man and to win his soul. It's kind of a sad scene, but it reminds us that we're in a constant chess match with Satan in our lives. What's interesting is several years ago, a chess master, Paul Murphy, saw this painting in Europe, and he was drawn to it. Obviously, not many paintings with chess players in it, but he was drawn to this painting, and he spent hours looking at it and studying it. And then he ran over to his friend, and he says, "Believe it or not, this young man can still win." And sure enough, you can look it up on the internet. They have his whole explanation of where the chess pieces are, and he said there's still one move to where not only the young man can win, but he can checkmate Satan on the other end. And so the good news is, even though Satan thinks he has won, there's always another move. There's always a winning move, because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Satan has been defeated. And so if we'll just pray for the deliverance of the Holy Spirit, we just pray for the deliverance process to begin in us today, that there's always another move. Satan is powerful, but he is not more powerful than God. God will always provide another move, because Satan has already been checkmated by Jesus. Father God, I just pray right now for every person in the hearing of my voice. Lord, Satan is active. Part of the problem with our adversary is they never take a break. They never quit. They never stop. We need your help. And Father, the evil one uses the evil in our own hearts to tempt us to sin. But Lord, we claim today the privilege as a child of God to come to you and pray in the mighty name of Jesus and say, deliver us from this evil one. Snatch us away from this evil one. And Lord God, we know that you can do it. And we pray that you'll begin to do it today, that you would reveal any deception we have in our hearts today and deliver us from that deception to truth. Any fear that Satan uses to keep us in the box, Lord, we just ask for deliverance from that fear to the faith that you have in Jesus. We pray, Lord, for the hate that we have toward other people. Lord God, that you would deliver us from that hate to give us grace with others. And Lord, from our selfishness, Lord, from our self-centered viewpoint, Lord, would you deliver us from that to agape love. Father God, I know you can do this. And we just pray your Holy Spirit would work in the next few moments as we come to this altar today. Lord God, that you would move us closer to you, and that you would remove and deliver us from these evil attitudes that hold us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that our Satan, our enemy, our adversary has been defeated. You've already checkmated him once and for all. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you can give us the victory every day as we continue to be delivered from the evil one. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.